Let's pray together for a moment. Creator God, we thank you for your gift of spirituality. We ask your blessings on our discussion tonight, and we ask that we may be gifts to one another as we think about this issue together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. My name is Ingrid Christensen. I'll be chairing the panel tonight. And we have a number of wonderful panelists here who I will, that was Jeff. who will be joining us on the panel, Jeff Kirsten Grip.
Welcome.
And should I say it more smoothly, Kirsten Grip?
You can say KG if you like.
Okay, Jeff KG. And Ann Fruchter. How did I do it? Fruchter.
Well, I guess if you're in Germany.
You say it. You say it.
Fruchi.
You're kidding.
Fruchi?
Yeah. Fruity. It's an American way of saying it.
Sounds like a fruit tree. That's Ann.
It's called a fruit.
Steve Tung. Or Tung Yu.
Yu.
Tung.
Tung Wei. It's been a variation.
And Sven Westland in the green sweater. The panelists will each reflect a little bit on this issue of spiritual growth at Holden. They each come from different sets of experiences on the subject, and I think it's something that they all take very seriously, and therefore will be something that they'll each have something to give to us that we can learn from. I'm going to begin with a few comments that I found today on Quaker spirituality. Two precepts. I found it in this book called their magazine, Spiritual Life, that's over in this room of magazines right over here. It talks about two precepts of Quaker spirituality that I thought were helpful to me and might be helpful to share with you in terms of thinking about the role of spirituality in all of our lives. Under the silent, watchful eye of the Holy One, we are all standing, whether we know it or not. And in that center, in that holy abyss where the eternal dwells at the base of our being, our programs, our gifts to God, our offerings of duties performed are again and again revised in their values. Many of the things we are doing seem so important to us. We haven't been able to say no to them because they seem so important. But if we center down, as the old Quaker phrase goes, and live in that holy silence which is clearer than life, and take our life program into the silent places of the heart with complete openness, ready to do, ready to renounce according to his leading, then many of the things we are doing lose their vitality for us. I should like to testify to this as a personal experience graciously given. There is a re-evaluation of much that we do or try to do, which is done for us by our God. And we know then what to do and what to let alone. Kelly's the person who wrote this. Conviction that we are all standing under the silent, watchful eye of the Holy One is not peculiar to him or to the Quakers. Many others drawn to God have realized that if God is truly what we say about God, every moment unfolds before God. No thought or desire escapes God's knowing. Kelly, though, is more direct than most in making the constant presence of God his spiritual center. Alternately, he calls it a holy abyss. Our center is not ourselves. Something awesome yawns in our depths. The eternal, the divine mystery itself, dwells at the foundation of our being, is the foundation of our being. That's the first precept, and I feel that I can't, although it's tempting to leave it there, I can't quite just leave it there, because the second one among the Quakers, as you probably all know, is action for justice. And the helpful thing in this article that I read today is that the action for justice comes out of the first place, out of the centering down, the quietness, the holy abyss within us. So that once that is established in us, and only when that is established in us, is it clear what our duties and obligations and gifts and responsibilities are to the world around us. And so we don't have a kind of frenetic attention to duty that comes from somewhere outside of ourselves, but instead it sorts and becomes prioritized because of the centering down spiritually within ourselves. So that's a gift from the Quakers to us all tonight. Jeff, would you start?
Do you want me to?
I would like to.
Yeah, well, we have, what would you like 4 minutes? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm an extrovert. And and being at Holden for a winter has made me more introspective, which is, I guess, a form of spiritual growth. Emily and I are ending the first year of our marriage. Not ending our marriage, just ending the first year of our marriage. All but the first month of which we spent up here. So it's been a time of pretty tremendous personal growth for me here, spiritual growth too. But the harder news I have is that that's been more in spite of the place than because of the place, and that's not what I expected when I came. So I'm going to try and talk about that for just a couple minutes. What was challenging, especially in the wintertime, about being here for me. The summertime for me, well, okay, most of my spiritual growth happens when I'm quiet and when I'm either alone or with someone that I can trust and talk with for a pretty long stretch of time. And Emily is a good person for that. That's my wife. But the time was more of a problem. This winter, you expect coming to a retreat center in the wintertime, it would be relatively easy that you'll just have these vast stretches of time in which you can just sit back and talk about what's on your mind and struggle with really hard questions. But yeah, I see the other married people in the audience laughing like, nah, hey, I can get it either. And I found being here this winter that it felt like I was always just trying to keep up with my work or with the work and the life of the village. I had an image in my mind of an energy pool that once you agree to join the community, if you really fully join, you pitch your energy into this pool, and people who need that energy draw on the pool, and you're sucked into it, whether you want to or not. And you know, you may not get back as much as you put in, and I found that to be the case. This winter, we had some difficult stuff going on in the village that just would take away my kind of. You see the Star Trek movie where they put those little worms in someone's ears and crawled, ate their way into their brains? That's kind of like how it felt. Like, I didn't have much control over this. You know, some of my energy just got taken away from me, and I couldn't use it as I wished to use it here. So, first of all, it felt like I was just trying to keep up with the life of the community, that there's all kinds of stuff going on, and that there's sort of this all-consuming energy that goes on in the village, and that I'm free to draw on it, but there wasn't much there to draw from. I didn't feel like it was a positive investment for me. So I found that most of my meaningful spiritual growth happened either individually, when I was quiet and by myself, or talking with Em. And we ended up having to be really rigorous about setting aside an hour a day just to sit down with each other and talk. And it felt really funny to have to schedule that. They were kind of working against the notion of the place to do that. One of the things I was expecting when I came, and that really hasn't happened, is that we'd have more, that there'd be more meaningful public expressions of, or public, kicks in the butt for spiritual growth. Things that happened in a public worship, like a Vespers or something, that would inspire some kind of growth. And I found that there's really a very narrow range of what's acceptable here in Vespers, especially in the summertime when the emphasis is so much on hospitality and not offending anyone, that not a lot of challenge comes out of milquetoasty kinds of worship services. So that there isn't a lot of inspiring stuff for me in those situations, and that was kind of sad too for me. Emily talks about this as Holden has a habit of thankfulness. Like when we say the prayers before the meals, we read off the yellow cards, and we all know the prayers, and you know, we have our favorite prayers and the favorite words and the favorite prayers and things. But that it's just this way of sort of smiling at each other before we start the meal, and there is value in that, but there isn't a lot of spiritual growth in it. And for me, so I found myself not finding a lot in the public arena, and not finding a lot of time to pursue it in the private arena. And it's just lately that I've come to find ways for myself to do that. And that's been by learning my two little things that I'm hanging on to. One is to pick your battles, that I found that I can reclaim that energy that I dumped into the pool when I need it. And I do that by saying, you know, oh, they're fighting with each other. Well, that's interesting. I hope they resolve it, you know, and not have to deal with it myself. And at the same time, the harder trick has been not to denigrate it just because I'm not joining it. You know, it's a stupid battle. That's why I'm not joining in. It can be a fine battle. It can be a battle royale. It can be a terrific battle, but it's happening over there, and it doesn't have to take my energy. So I'm going to pick my battles. The other thing I'm doing is learning. I didn't know about myself when I came here that I found God. I find God most when I'm by myself and when I'm quiet, or when I'm in a conversation where I'm all present and the other person is as well. I didn't know that. So the other thing I'm hanging on to is to know where I meet God and then go there as often as I can. To make the time to do that, to say no to people who want things from me, and to feel all right about that, but that's an okay reason to be here. So, it's
Thank
been
you.
Kind of frustrating.
That's good. Thank you. It's helpful.
You're welcome.
Ben, how about you?
The reason I came here was that there was work, and I love to work. And then what do I do to stay sane? Because I don't think work is something you can thrive on forever. And 15 years ago, I developed a habit. So I don't pick on people who say they have habits, because habits can be good and bad, and I think this, for me, has been good. I get up early, so I can have quiet time by myself. And opposite to Jeff, I'm an introvert. The group that I was with, when we took the test, I scored the most points on introvert than anybody. I get up and read in the morning at 5:30, and spend time alone. I write letters, and I really enjoy that time. That feeds me. Then I have the opportunity here to go in and wake up my wife, and later my son. That's how we start our day together. I have also made it a habit to attend the morning Bible study. It's every other day in the winter time, and every day except Sunday in the summertime. And I love the sessions. When I met Scott Hasselrod, it was outside the village, and he asked me, why do you want to come to me? One of the things I said to him, I want to be challenged. And like Jeff, I haven't been challenged, and Scott told me, don't expect it. But I do find some challenges at sessions, especially at the forums, where everyone has the chance to give an input. There are always some gold coins to be thrown up. I also like the community gatherings very much, which is really strange, because I noticed that Jeff gets his strength from the quiet moment. But I find strength in being with other people, because that's where I get input that I can digest. And that doesn't mean that there's a whole lot to pick up at every forum or session that you go to, but I brought something else with me, so I always get up something out of my time. What I try to do, because I'm the head carpenter, to make the people who I work with also be able to pick up some of the stuff that I do, I tell them that make sure that you figure out when your wife has her schedule so that you both have the same day off. Because the slides showed a little while ago with the readings that there's a lot to be gained by being out in the wilderness alone and observing the creation around us. This is an extremely beautiful place. And then there's a defense that I've set up. I said I came here to work. and I like to keep a certain schedule. In the wintertime, other people are very sloppy with their schedule. So I just have to cut through that. And one example is that in the morning we eat from 7:30 to 8, and then we can go home and start working whenever we please. But the people who announce are so sloppy with doing the announcements that you can hardly get out of the dining hall by 8 o'clock. So I just go home, brush my teeth, and then the matins and the announcement can happen at 10 o'clock. As far as I'm concerned, I can do my job. And it's taking me a while to just decide that this is my time and this is theirs. And the only things we're required to do is work, come to Vespers, and staff meetings.
Thank you. Anne.
One of the primary reasons that I came to Holden was for spiritual journey. About 3 months ago, I was fortunate in connecting up with a sister at Merrillhurst College. I'm from Portland, and she's a sister of the Holy Names, has been for 40 years, and her name is Sister Dolores, and she has started me on a path of spiritual journey, and it became very clear to me after my spring commitments were done that it would be really grand if I could find an environment in which journeying could be done on a daily basis with very few distractions. So I came to Holden for that reason. And one of the biggest discoveries that I found being here is that journeying here in Holden isn't a whole lot different than in the city. The reason I say that is because once you get into the flow of the community, once you get to know a multitude of people, develop friendships, want to go on walks with people, play cards, go to dances, you know, there's lots of things to do. There are just as many distractions at Holden as there are in what some of us call the outside world. In my spiritual journey, the thing that I've had to figure out first is the vehicle in which I was going to journey. Several vehicles that I have found that have been successful, that some have already been mentioned, are quiet times by myself, whether that be walking or lying on my bed or sitting in a quiet place. Conversations with people, and I'm talking about meaningful conversations that probe into the depths of your mind, challenge your thinking, cause you reason to think other than just, you know, how's the weather and where are you from and what did your parents do type conversations. Readings, there's a multitude of books and reading materials we've all delved into. And also I've discovered the richness of the tape ministry library. And I've faithfully listened to tapes, which are not necessarily available in the outside world, which would be a bonus. So first of all, you have to figure out your vehicle of how you're going to journey. And it could be a variety of vehicles. Then I think you really have to take a look at a triangle. An equilateral triangle. And at the top of the triangle is a word, commitment. Commitment to do the journey. At one of the bottom points, the word is discipline. Discipline to do it. Above all else, you've made a commitment to journey. Now you're going to discipline yourself to do it. And at the other point of the triangle is the word sacrifice. And that may mean saying no to a hike to Heart Lake when you've scheduled your hour and a half, 2 hours to journey, or to be by yourself. I keep coming back to that triangle, and not just in journeying, but just in other parts of my life also. Commitment, make a commitment to do it, discipline to do the action, and perhaps sacrifice. I don't think journeying is an easy thing. In fact, I can think of probably a dozen reasons each day not to take time for myself. In fact, at the end of each day, I actually feel very proud of myself if I have taken some special time to do that. And it feels good, it feels enriching, it feels whole. But if I can leave you with any thought tonight about your special place in your life, remember the triangle. And you can put the words in any order. And come back to it, not just in your journeying adventures, but perhaps in other work that you're also doing in your life.
Okay,
Steve?
I guess, I think a lot of ways my spiritual journey really hasn't changed since I've been at Holden. It's been a continuation of a struggle I've had for quite some time. I think I feel a sense of where God's calling me in my life. I have a sense of what are the important things and what aren't. But my hardest thing, I guess, is the discipline and the sacrifice. Just all the intentions to try to bring about change in my own spiritual life and growth, I tend to get frustrated with that. And so I'll talk more idealistically what I would envision for myself, because I think you have to have a vision of what, you know, what your goal is. And so I'll talk more about that. First of all, I think that I've learned here more than anywhere else the importance of taking care of yourself physically, getting enough sleep, eating properly, exercising, and balance between your work and your play. Just being the groundwork for entering, the prerequisite courses for then beginning to focus on your spiritual life, your spiritual journey, your relationship with God. My own theology more and more becomes simplified in terms of, I call it relational, meaning this quote I've quoted a number of times in Vespers and Matins, I really like it. And it says that in Christianity began in Palestine as a relationship. It went to Greece and became a philosophy. It went to Rome, became an institution. Europe became a culture. And here in America, it became an enterprise. And that the whole, maybe, goal of a Christian is to bring it back to that original relationship. So I guess my spiritual mentor would be Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof. Because I love how he just makes his relationship with God just part of his daily life. He's looking up there and he's so honest and open. And there's a constant flow, it seems like. And I've always just loved that. So I guess if you look at what I would say is an idealized setting for spiritual growth here at Holden, I'd sort of see it in terms of concentric circles. In the center circle, well, probably in the very core, is that taking care of yourself that I talked about as sort of a prerequisite. And then the next circle then would be the spiritual disciplines. One of my favorite books, and one of those desert island books, if you're marooned on a desert island kind of book, that I've always loved is Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline. It's just one of my favorites. I can read it again and again. Of course, that's kind of like that quote tonight on the wilderness thing that we said. It's more fun. We can spend more time reading about solitude than actually experience it. And I tend to do that. But the discipline, in a positive sense, I'm a musician. I know the value of practice. I would not be able to be anything of a musician unless I practice. So I really feel as though there has to be intentional discipline. It sounds oppressive, but I think it has to be there. All my joy from music only comes because I've worked hard to practice. The next concentric circle would be worship. I think that it's important to do it even when you don't feel like it, or be there anyway, I mean. And it's important because it connects your spiritual life with the lives of others and communities. So that's an important thing daily, and that's a value I really appreciate here at Holden, is that commitment. And, you know, I think if that commitment ever disappeared at Holden, I would be gone. You know, I just think it's so important for me. Then there's finally, I guess, the intention, the final circle is then involvement. And those are ways that require energy on my behalf and involvement with others. Could be attending sessions, doing matins or vespers, and conversations. Sven challenged us earlier this winter to spend more time talking about God in our community. And one thing that frustrates me about Lutherans, and yet I can totally relate to because that's where I come from, is that's that personal thing that you don't talk about. And it's scary, and you don't talk about it. So you do it in very structured, safe kind of settings, vespers or matins or, you know, whatever, you get your God fix, but then you don't, you know. So I guess the last thing it's been very positive, but I would like to mention some frustrations that I've missed. I've missed small group focus here at Holden. I haven't discovered that here. And that was a very special part of my life before I came here. But the problem, my wife and I, have tried to start small group type of things, but the problem here is the transiency. And you just can't develop the kind of closeness and vulnerability that it takes to drop down the barriers in a small group. I miss the chance to see more of the world's needs face to face. Here we talk a lot about it up here, we're very aware of it, but I think we're kind of removed from it. And finally, I sometimes feel as though Holden deals with a lot of people who are disenfranchised from the church. That's the way one community member described it last winter. And it's frustrating for me sometimes because I feel like we sort of drop our spiritual language and our energy kind of to the lowest common denominator, in a sense. If you know, I feel like sometimes we're so afraid to offend somebody that might be, you know, that we just don't dig into it as deep as I had hoped. And so that changes, you know, I mean, we bring in teachers that can just take you right down in a submarine to the deepest areas that you just kind of explore, you know, never even dreamed of exploring. But in general, I guess I'm speaking in terms of community. Sometimes I think that could be more, it could be deeper that way. But I guess the final thing I'll say is and far as community goes, I think it's important to, the involvement is the most important thing. And it's easy to complain, but it's more important than to see maybe God's calling you. If you, like for us, for Amy and I, you know, we sensed like we need a small group here. So we tried to start one. And I think, and that didn't work out. But in many cases, when you feel a need or a call, then stop complaining about it, and I've sensed that's God's call for you to see whether maybe that's where you're being called for action in your own life. So that's pretty much it.
Thank you, Steve. Well, thank you to our four panelists. I think they've given us a lot of grist for the mill and many things to think about. So now it's your turn. This is a chance at Holden. We can disagree with one another and not have to be angry. We can even get angry and it'll be okay. But it's a chance for us each to bring the gifts that we have and put them in the circle and share them with others. So who's going to be first?
I have a couple of reactions.
Okay, good.
I guess I heard the word frustration pretty often. And I think that, I guess I want to contradict or challenge Sven and Jeff's idea that they wanted to be more challenged here. I think that frustration is the challenge. At least it has been for me in my life. The little everyday things that this, I had a poster at one time that said, it's easy to be an angel if nobody ruffles your feathers. Well, it's easy to be deeply spiritual and religious if the environment is just perfect. But this world is not perfect, and it's in dealing with the imperfections that we grow the most, I think. So, and then my other reaction is to the discipline and commitment. And I am committed, but I was raised in all the work ethic, and I always thought, well, if I just work hard enough and do everything right, I'm going to get what I want. Well, it didn't work out that way. So now I'm trying to let things happen as opposed to controlling them into a certain direction all the time. So,
thank you. That's helpful. That's a nice reminder that there are no formulas in life. Who else has something they'd like to bring into this discussion?
Steve, we were talking in small groups about you wanted to get together in small groups and just talk about stuff like relationship with God and experiences with stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about that myself since I've been up here, and I would like to get together and get together with people and talk and stuff like that, and kind of bat around ideas and concepts and stuff like that. So if you still want to get them together and do that, that sounds, I'd be in for that.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe at the end of this evening we should have people who are interested in starting an ongoing meeting. Find out who each other is.
You are the leader of this session, and I would like to ask you, what is spiritual growth according to your opinion?
I don't think that spiritual growth is something that any one of us ever gets to the end of, in my view, but it's a path that we're on. And I think the path, I'm not sure how, I don't think I could define it without thinking about it a lot, but I certainly think it's different for each person, but it certainly is, in my case, it's my relationship with my God and how I feel right with my God and the world I live in. And all of that sort of a triangle for me, I guess, is my God relationship and my world relationship and how I function within them. And I don't feel good if I'm spinning my wheels and not being productive. I don't feel good if I'm not growing. I feel stagnant. So I want to keep myself on a path. I want to keep moving. But the question you ask is way too profound for someone like me. So someone else should answer it.
What is your goal?
No goal. No goals allowed for me. All I can do is just keep moving.
I could answer that.
Good.
Just for me. My goal is just to see the path.
Yes, every day.
And I think, Kay, to address some of the stuff you said, when I came here, I had an expectation that the path would be clearer here because a lot of the obstacles that were part of my teaching life away from here would be gone, and they are, in fact, gone. But I think I found maybe more obstacles here than there. And that's where the frustration comes from. I agree, I've learned a lot through that frustration, but when it's not frustration I expected, that's an extra frustration. So.
Steve mentioned about how spiritual journey involved a lot with relationship. Over the years I've had my own ideas about what my spiritual journey could be like, but the part that has meant the most to me is relationships with two friends. One of the most growthful times has been in cribbage games with a good friend of mine. As we're playing cards, we're talking about things which mean a lot to us. And it wasn't a structured setting, it wasn't something that was part of program planning or anything like that. It was just getting together with a friend and willing to spend time, willing to learn about each other, learning to challenge and explore. And I won most of the cringe games too.
I think there's a sort of underlying assumption among much of what we say here at Holden that we find God in nature and we find God in and I think we find God within ourselves. I wonder how you feel about that. Does that feel like sacrilege to some of you, or does that feel like it's the right thing?
Mm-hmm. I guess my comment when I'm listening to all these people talk is I don't hear anybody talking about humor and laughing at yourself and taking life so serious. That's one of the things that I still sort of struggle with myself, but I think that using humor and laughing at yourself or with others is part of the spiritual life within oneself as well. And when you're talking, Steve was talking about Lutherans or whatever. I think that that's really important in personal growth, and I think maybe that's something that we should think about. Also, listening to Jeff, I have found for myself that being the nurse here, I'm not able to leave unless there's another nurse. So I find at this point, I've been here 7 weeks, that it's really important for me to have that client and to take good care of myself and not get triangled in. That triangling of people not being direct, and you know, I think that's really a negative. And I really have a problem with that. So I don't know. Can anybody talk about what they do to just be more direct? And I think that is part of being what I think is respect and value for one another as part of my Christian spirituality. I hear a lot of sort of talking, people talking not directly about the problem, but I guess I felt that where I came from, I saw a lot of that, and I thought when I came here, I would deal with that. So that was sort of an ideal that I thought this would not go on in this kind of community.
Everybody in a Christian adult retreat center is perfect. You should know that. No one would ever say anything indirectly to somebody else or not. Right.
I don't understand what you meant, Gail. You said we talked about Lutheran, and I think we should look at that. What did you mean?
Well, I think they were just talking about seriousness, that we don't laugh very much.
Okay.
And we took ourselves too serious.
Yeah, but old and mean jokes are really...
Did I see a hand over here? Yes, and yet deep.
A friend of mine used to always tell me that no matter where you go, there you are. And I'm here now, and sure enough, it's true. While the petty annoyances of life, such as commuting, are blissfully absent, the issues that I grappled with out there are amazingly also here on a smaller scale. But I think what is different is the opportunity to share the grappling, because here I am not in isolation. There are good neighbors and access to good neighbors. If not, the time frame is not really that different. I mean, this is real life, and we're on the same 24-hour clock with more work than we can do, just like we were at our last job and our next job. So maybe I came with lower expectations of how idyllic it was. Again, I've been here before. So, and And as far as seeing the path, Jeff, the point is that you can tell when you're not on the path. It's like walking on gravel in the dark. You can feel when you're not on the path, but the path itself is only clear by contrast to not being on the path.
You're talking about yourself now.
Yeah. I think that's probably true for a lot of people, is that you can sense not being on the path and seek to get back on the path. But when you're on the path, you cannot see where you're going. Just intuitively know when you're not there.
This is not too profound, but...
Well, then I'm sorry, you can't see it. Please.
Take two. We've been coming out here for some time, and I think what I discovered was how Christian community could be. Maybe it wasn't always there, but I saw some examples, and it was kind of a sad testimonial that I didn't catch that back home in the church. But I think that's one of the first things that sold me on Holden Village was the intimacy and the openness and the willingness to undertake some of the sticky issues and to really be honest with one another. And I think that it energizes me, now that I'm getting up in older years, to be with younger people, you know, like Jeff. And not always agreeing with each other. So, as I said, it wasn't profound, but I just want to share that.
Thank you.
I wonder about how some of you feel that are here this week for the first time. Is there other people in the room who are having that experience? And has this been a satisfying time for you? And do you feel that it was okay in some way? Or it sounds like nobody wants to make a single comment about it.
Well, I'm just grateful that there is a camp, or whatever you want to call it, that where Christians can go and meet other Christians as well as people of other religions, perhaps. And we're just spending a week here, and I think it's just the greatest place. What I liked most in the literature was the limited meat meals, because usually if you go on vacation, you've eaten very poorly for a whole week, and it takes a long time to straighten out. And I really appreciate the lessons we're getting in the morning and afternoon. Nice people. I like to see all the young people around. I think it's great.
We like seeing you.
I recommend the place. Mm-hmm.
Good. You're one of the young people we see around.
Well, I've been here. I came here 3 weeks ago for 2 days. And what really drove me back to come here was the response of my daughter, Cheyenne. She usually is a little bit withdrawn, a little bit unsure about people, and I saw when I was here for 2 days that child open in a way I had never seen her open before, and I just wanted to make sure that she had that. And I think some of you remember that I was here the weekend of 400, when I came over to the ferry and left with 400 high school kids. And I think it got to a state of energy that was, that's not going to be again, I hear. But they were singing over and over again, "Hallelujah, we sing your praises, our heart is filled with gladness."
what does my daughter sing every day now? When on both Vespers, when everyone does such a thorough job of wishing peace to one another, I think that's the moment, the first night of Vespers when everyone was hugging one another, that child, it just really felt the sincerity and the openness and the simplicity of that. And for the first time in her life, she went around and was high on hugging everyone. And that really made a deep impression on her life. And I think it's a very valuable, very valuable expression.
Other comments? Someone else want to contribute something, or ask, or comment, or disagree?
I find my spirituality coming through the artist, and God is the creator, and done a lot for me that way, in music and painting and so forth. And I think that's something that the school should really push, because kids, they are creative, and we knock the creation out of them by the time they get a little older. And I think that's very important. They always cut that program when they run short of funds as a music and not the arts. It's been a very much of a boon to me. Thing of art is in the doing. Mm-hmm. And that's when you forget about everything else. Mm-hmm. And your problems, and you'll always have problems, no matter what happens. So I wonder if they kind of comment on that, on music.
And certainly that's one way of opening doors to your own spirituality, is through paying attention that you get enough exposure to music and to the arts so that you can grow in that way. It's not probably not for everybody, but it's certainly a valuable reminder that that's an important path for lots of people. And more so at one time, some part of your life than another, probably.
Yeah, that's true, but I feel that it helps a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Bingo.
I think that's why the Vespers are so wonderful here, and how they can take a break, they can make a break in your own consciousness just for those 20 minutes.
That's very creative too.
I think back to, I think it was probably in April, we had a village art show. We filled this room behind us, Creekside room, with all the art that people had been doing over the winter. And it was amazing because there was so much. And as Jeff alluded, this winter's community, we went through some hard times. And but to see that things like this can be born out of difficult times, such beauty. We have a wonderful village artist, and all of what she's bringing in terms of her her relationship with God is coming out now in all the banners that are around the village, and they're filled with so much energy and enthusiasm, and that's neat because that can then continue, and if she, I think she'll be leaving soon, but then that will energize other people as they come in. They see that it uplifts their spirits. Mm-hmm. I think it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really apparent to me as everybody talks is how different the journey is for everybody. And I think if I were to say for myself what one goal of spirituality is a sense of wholeness. And it struck me that Jeff was saying he's an extrovert, that he was finding strength in his solitude time, or time one-on-one, and Sven, the introvert off the scale, was finding something to hold on to out of community gathering. And a woman over here says, it's well and good to talk about discipline, but in my experience, the discipline has gone overboard and there's a search to try to free up, and you know, someone else is talking about needing more humor, and it seems like we all come here with some sort of sense that we are broken people and we're all lacking in some way, and what we each lack is different. You know, the balance is off in different ways for all of us, and we piece ourselves back together using different tools, and we, you know, find strength in different places, and sometimes it's somebody who works a lot like us who can help us find what we need to be looking for, and sometimes it's somebody who works so differently, and in talking or trying to communicate across that, that we gain some insight. But I don't know, it's funny to have a discussion on, you know, what is spiritual growth, because it's such a different thing for different people. Mm-hmm. And we all come here with very different expectations, and I think we just all need to hope that that somewhere, somehow, something is revealed to us about where we can go to get closer to our sense of wholeness.
That's really helpful. Those are very helpful comments. Thank you. Scott.
Historically, I think holiness has done an admirable job of raising issues, particularly during a time of summer community, but other times during the winter as well. And ask people to reflect on those issues, particularly issues that are raised by our world, questions that are raised by the world we live in, and so forth. And so Holden has asked all of us to reflect, to develop a spirituality that has an understanding of those issues and a commitment to do something with those issues, either in terms of our lifestyle, in terms of our vocations, our avocations, or whatever. Now, I have felt that our weakness has been that we haven't found ways to offer up with equal intensity for people to be involved with the what one might call the inner issues of their lives that also impact their spiritual journeys. And in that sense, spirituality has been defined in a more extroverted way at Poland, even though, interestingly enough, this is an introverted community. For me, a definition of the spiritual journey has to do with paying attention to the unexpected that comes up in my life and responding consciously to it. You know, if I'm forced to come up with a definition of what spirituality is, I would say it has to do with paying attention to the unknown, the unexpected that comes up. And so I keep thinking about ways in which we could do this, ways in which we could be helpful to people. But then the more I begin to think about it, I get kind of lost. Because then people begin telling me about all the unexpected ways that their spiritual journey is advanced for them. And then I get very confused. Because I wonder, is there, after all, you know, kind of a set of, is there a discipline? I mean, there was a time in the history of the Christian movement when there were certain disciplines. Those got institutionalized in terms of orders. And the idea was you joined the order, you followed discipline, you came through that discipline to spiritual maturity. But at Holden, it seems to me, we have people discovering a sense of who they are through ways that totally mystify me. We had a little lady here from Minnesota at our January, February sojourn. And she'd been here for 3 weeks, and I asked her, you know, tell me about your experience. And she said, I'm free. "Thank God I'm free at last," she said. And she had danced for the first time in 30 years the night before at a dance we had here in the village. And everyone who was here this winter, I'm sure, remembers this little gal. And she was just wonderful. All she could say was, "I'm free, I'm free." And now, I don't know what did it for her. Whether, you know, hugging a big black African-American who was 6'4", whom she'd never met one like that before in her life, and having him be her spiritual mentor for 4 weeks. I mean, I don't know how it did it for her. And I'm curious, you know, are there disciplines, or is this, you know, thing like Quicksilver, and somehow it has to be fashioned out of the unexpected for each of us. I'd really like to know. I mean, because I felt this is a real lack at Holden, and yet people talk about how unexpectedly new things happen for them. At a South African worship series, you know, that people can't hardly tolerate because of the decibels that frees other people up. And so, you know, are there disciplines today that we could adopt as a community, or how do you approach the whole subject of providing an atmosphere where these inner issues get addressed for us?
I was going to say something to Jeff when he mentioned something about it, but it has come up several times. And I just wanted to say it because it's come up in my life many times, and I've heard it lots, and it's expectation. And through my life, my father put lots of expectations on me, and I lived through these expectations and not achieving them most of the time. And what I've come to really know through my spiritual path is that expectation is the roadblock of your path. When you have expectation, if you go into something not having expectation, then it can become all that it can become. And when you go into something with expectation, then it is very limited, because you've put your own barriers and limitations on something with that expectation, because it can only get to that expectation or no further. So I've really tried to keep expectation out of most of the things in my life. Sometimes it comes out of whatever, but I found that is really one of my keys.
Did you come here without any expectations?
I came here without any expectations, and spent, well, I had some. I kind of had a picture of what it would look like here, but that was it. And when I saw that it wasn't, when I drove up on the bus, and it wasn't like the picture on that little brochure, you know, the little brochure, that's the first time I saw anything about what Holden was like, was when I spent the night at the bed and breakfast with you, and Carl gave me that brochure, and that's the first time I saw a picture of what Holden was. And from that picture, I was like, okay, this is what it will look like up there. And when I got up on the bus, I'm like, whoa, this looks really kind of an old kind of village and different. So, that looks like such a fresh out in the middle of something. But it was, you know, but then it was like, wow, you know, the thing that really made it, has made it really excellent for me is all the different people come in that with the different views. And so, I mean, I love Holden. I think it's a great place. So, but I just, you know, I've heard expectation come up a lot, and I just, you know, finally, I said, okay, I'm gonna say what I need to say.
Can I add on to what Ross has to say? I like to offer another use for expectations instead of a roadblock, but more of a, they can be guardrails along the side of the path too. Expectations can keep wandering where you don't need to wander. I think that if you wander completely freely without some idea of what's going to happen, you don't know when something's happening to you whether this is something that is good for your path or bad for your path. And expectation can keep you on your path a little bit some. Now, that's just another alternative to some expectations, because I think others certainly do work as roadblocks. But some can be very helpful, too, in guiding you to where you need to be.
Well, there's another illustration of Allison's point about two sides and how each of us finds what we need to complete what we are. And Scott, I think, has laid out a sort of view of the complexity of the question and how each of us would probably want to impose our solution on this place and, of course, wouldn't work for anyone but us. So my Northern European, Minnesota-raised consciousness says discipline. You know, I'm with you. I need that. And I think, what can it hurt? I can at least try discipline. Then serendipity can come in, too, and I'll accept that when it comes. But I'll get further if I work at it a little. And so for people like me in Holden, we would need to organize our lives in a way that provided some focus on getting what we needed spiritually, which would mean taking time, setting time aside, thinking about reading things I wanted to read, or listening to music that I wanted to listen to, or going to the Pustinia upstairs in the VC and having time for prayer alone, or going out into the mountains and doing the same. For me, I need to take that at this time in my life, and I'm not saying I always will or that I always have needed that kind of discipline. But I think Holden does have a lot of centrifugal force. We all get pulled off into our projects and other people's affairs and our work and the sessions, which are so compelling and appealing. So I guess one word of caution for me to some people who have some of the same characteristics as I have is be self-conscious about it. Think about what you're doing and manage your time. Decide to take time to do nothing or to go for a walk by yourself or to sit alone in your room with a book or with some art or music or something. So that would be understanding full well that wouldn't work for many other people that would work for some of us, I think, in this room. We don't want Holden to pull us into too many different directions. One last comment.
No, make it two. Make it two.
You know what I wish, and I've always thought this, but I always wish that things weren't so segregated, so that there was work was a separate thing and it wasn't spiritual, and, you know, or spending time alone is spiritual, but, you know, just randomly talking and small talk isn't spiritual. And I wish, and I don't think the world works this way, but this would be my ideal, that it would be a continuum. And, you know, I work in a kitchen, so, you know, working with that stupid Hobart machine that always breaks down would be a challenge to me, or something that would be part of my spiritual growth, and it wouldn't seem so divided. That's what I would like to do personally with my life, is make something cohesive. Like, everything I do, that would be a little exhausting, but you know what I mean. It's not something that's just
marshaled
out.
I think that quote I read from the Quakers at the beginning of the session would indicate that is exactly the place that we all should get with our lives. And I thank you for bringing that.
Can I have the last word?
You may have the last word, please.
Well, Sven, you're an introvert, and Jeff, you're an extrovert. I'm a random. So I'm going to take a shotgun approach, because I've been sitting here gelling on all this, and you've never known a form to go by without me saying something, so here goes. I think that what I'm hearing a lot about spirituality tonight has gone into a very privatistic individual journey. And what I thought we'd come here to talk about a little bit more would be Holden as a community of spiritual journey together. Gail and I go back to our first Holden days being with John and Mary Schramm, in which this community was much more extroverted in its nature in terms of setting up spirituality experiences, if you will. I guess that as I think of the other piece of that, and this is random, so you're going to get pieces that may not connect here, so just flow with me a bit. And maybe it'll come out as a mosaic, maybe a mess, but we'll give it a chance. Most of spiritual growth, from my perception, is based on disequilibrium. Growth is always based on disequilibrium, so spiritual growth must also be, in the sense that there are times in our lives when the plates shift at some level, whether it be in our developmental stages of growing. I think that's what Scott was kind of talking about in terms of the interpersonal journey. I think sometimes in our world, and something happens outside and we don't know what to do with that new threat to our country or to our nation or to our world ecologically, there's always disequilibriums. And I think that spiritual growth takes place when we come to grips and are willing to embrace the disequilibrium and go with it. But what I know about myself is that if I do that in isolation, I'm setting myself up for a couple of dangers. One is either to never deal with it and therefore become undisciplined, or the other is to overreact to it and therefore become humorless and so serious about life that I can't really live anymore because I'm afraid to live. So what I'm suggesting about Holden, as far as a place of spiritual growth that will definitely have very, very many individual paths, is that this needs to be a community of hospitality where there can be boundaries. That's kind of what I was hearing about triangles, that people know their boundaries, and this can be a place that people can live in the disequilibrium, whether it's personal or whether it's communal or corporate, however we want to look at that, and really do something with that. Often, what I'm noticing about my journeys now to Holden is that I'm not coming anymore and hitting the disequilibrium. I'm rather coming to a place where I feel more comfortable here than I do in the outside world. And that's telling me something about the change in this community as far as what my needs for spiritual growth here. I don't think I grow as much here anymore as I used to. And I'm wondering about that. I'm wondering about that entire, either the community is becoming more in my image, so I'm more comfortable here, therefore I'm not growing, or I don't know, I'm gonna just leave that out. Comment, and about Lutheranism, I can speak to this one, I got some credentials on this. Lutherans have never had a spirituality. That is a foreign word to Lutheranism. It is almost diametrically opposed to the Lutheran gospel. And that's because Lutherans, and Luther in his heart of hearts, and in the book of Genesis, which we've been studying, says that you must understand that God is intensely incarnational, that God is very imminent and present in all that you do, all that you are, and all that you see. God is not a spirit out there to be found through any kind of the types of disciplines that the Catholic Church in particular and others have adopted, but that God is right here in your midst. And if you'll open your eyes and see, then you're a spiritual person. Spirituality isn't out there, it's here. So I don't know, maybe it's Holden becoming more of that kind of community, and that's why I'm not into disequilibrium while I'm here, or what? I don't understand that. I just know that the disequilibrium for me that's caused the growth doesn't take place here. I come here to rest from the growth I'm doing out there. Why is that?
You didn't quite get the last word.
Okay. Sorry, you said brought up earlier.
We're going to have one more word.
Well, I think I know that maybe I throw something out here as an answer to that question. In the past, my wife and I have gone to quote unquote, Bible camps, some Bible retreats, that sort of thing. And one thing that I've only been here a couple of days, so I'm not being critical. I'm just in my short observation. It seems to me that, and even tonight, I think would be probably a good example, that we, as Christians, Christ is supposed to be our example. And we are supposed to study the scriptures and study Christ, his sayings, and then attempt to follow his example. And I've noticed here that I really haven't seen, maybe in a song or two they mentioned Christ, and Christianity is mentioned sort of in a broad text. but mostly people are talking about God and some spiritual, far away sort of thing. The same way the Buddhists and the Taoists and the and whoever speak about God. And I think for God, I mean, God, as far as a Christian is concerned, God manifested himself in Christ. And Christ came on this earth to set an example for us. So if we're going to grow in our Christian walk, I think that the emphasis has to be redirected back down to earth, following the footsteps of Christ down here, not out there someplace, you know? And if we don't do that, we naturally get lost, because we're that path you're talking about. That's the path that we should be following. We should be following Christ's footsteps. And of course, we're going to fall, and we're going to bumble and stumble and fall off the path, and pick ourselves up and hopefully go on.
Good reminder. Thank you.
Could I say,
nobody wants to.
I just want to say that I've been here about 6 times, and I love this place. And I've learned a lot from this, through the reading of the books and what the services and all the discussions. I really appreciate this place very much.
Thank you. That felt like a benediction to me.
Amen.
Amen.